On this third Sunday of Lent, we focus on the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And our Lord is keeping the second commandment with regard to respect of God's place when he cleanses the temple. The temple was the holy place of all Jewish people, because they believed God's presence dwelt within that geographical place in the Holy of Holies. That's the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, the temple of God is his body. So it's a geographical place, but a spiritual reality, of which we do have geographical locations where his body is kept in the real presence in the tabernacle. So now this is his actual physical temple, and we, spiritually speaking, when grace resides in the soul, are living temples of God's presence in the world. The cleansing of the temple is a good reminder for parents that God's law comes before all else. Jesus is God, and Jesus never sinned. So this action, when he made a whip, and I would have loved to have seen how he threaded the bits of leather together and pushed them all out of the temple, physically tipping over tables, was an outrageous action. Only God could do that, but he never sinned. Remember, anger is not always a sin. There is the sin of anger, but then the emotion of anger. And the 11 emotions, they are neutral. They're neither good nor bad. It depends what their object is. So sometimes it's a sin not to get angry when something wrong is happening. So bear that in mind. If you're a parent and at times you lose it, that doesn't necessarily mean you've sinned. Jesus was angry with the emotion of anger, but never sinned. And he did it for righteousness, to keep God's law. We're living in the post-Christian era. Back in the 50s, people believed in the Ten Commandments and lived them on a daily basis. But today, very few Australians growing up would even know what those Ten Commandments are. The first reading's all about those commandments, called the Decalogue, or the Ten Words that God made Moses write down. Now, the Ten Commandments are essential for our salvation. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." At the end of our life, we should be judged inasmuch as we have kept those commandments as proof of God's love within. The commandments are also what we call the natural moral law, and every person will be judged by them. God's people, however, had been for 400 years under Egyptian rule, and had become somewhat feral. They'd lost sight of what those moral norms were. So God had to write them down in the form of two tablets so that they would have a written copy as well as the copy that we have within our conscience. And that's what gave rise to the Ten Commandments as we know them today. And of course, as tradition has it, three commandments refer to God on one tablet and the other seven to self and neighbour. Let's quickly unpack them so that we understand what they really mean. The first three are in reference to God in thought, word and deed. God needs to be number one in our heart, in our desires, in our thoughts. If we don't have God as number one, if we don't worship him, that means have worth for him above everything else, something else will become our object of worship. Nothing lives in a vacuum. Once God is removed as number one in our life, something will creep up with stealth and take his place. And often that's a thing. It might be a car, it might be money, it might be the boat, it might be work, it might be some pleasure, but something will take number one place in our life. And the best way to know what that thing is, or that person that we worship the most, is just to scan your day and ask yourself, where were my thoughts going? When I had that spare time after lunch, what did I think about? Where are my desires focused? And that will tell you what is number one in your life. God needs to be number one for each and every person. For our hearts were made for him, O Lord, and they are restless till they rest in him. Nothing can satisfy the heart other than God, who is perfect love, truth and goodness. Secondly, if you love somebody, you respect them. And that's the second commandment. You respect their name, you respect places that are dedicated to him, and also persons dedicated to him. That's why it's a sin to blaspheme or misuse God's name. If you don't like someone, you call them a name. You idiot, fool, and something else. If you love someone, you call them sweetie, darling, love. You have words of affection for those that you love. And so too, God's name is holy, therefore we respect it, unlike our media today. And we respect places that are dedicated to God and people as such, because they are a physical reminder of the presence of God. That's the second commandment. The third is thought, word, deed. God commands us that we worship him by attending his sacrifice on Sunday and holidays of obligation, and that we don't work on that day. We dedicate the Sunday, the Sabbath, to the Lord. Why? Because if we don't, something else, once again, will take dominion of his face. God has given us 168 hours in the week. He says, give me back one. 60 minutes or 55 minutes is nothing out of the week. When you think about the time we dedicate to TV, DVDs, sport, pleasures, what's 1 hour out of the week to worship him in the fashion, the manner by which he has decreed? Mass is his sacrifice. The night before he died, he said, do this. It was a command to the apostles in memory of me. Worship me according to my sacrifice, which is more than praise and worship. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass, his suffering, death, and resurrection relived. There's a mortal sin not to go to Mass on Sunday. If we can't go for some reason, sickness or some other issue, that's different. But if we choose not to go and we instead go shopping or go to the sport, whatever, then we have sinned against God in a serious fashion. We might not regard it as serious, but God does. And if you want to know why God does, just look at The Passion by Mel Gibson, how much he suffered for us to give us the Mass and to take away our sins. So they're the first three commandments in thought, word, and deed to God. The other seven are easily unpacked if you put the word respect there. The fourth commandment is respect authority. The fifth is respect life. The sixth is respect our bodies. The seventh is respect things, other people's things. And the eighth is respect the truth. And the ninth and tenth commandment lock in to the sixth and the seventh with regard our desires. Because we have the ability to sin in thoughts, our desires, words and deeds. And so we double up in two commandments because they tend to encroach upon the heart and can cause strife in our life. The fourth commandment, back to authority, we need to have an authority above us. And that's why honour your father and mother. It also means honour the state regarding just laws, pay our taxes and so forth. And it's a good thing because we all need to obey somebody. Otherwise, we think we're in charge and we're not. And that's pride rising up. Fifth and sixth commandment are the big time ones. Respect life and respect the body. Respect life, do not kill, means don't harm your body or other people's bodies. You might not kill, but killing is a part of our daily life. The millions of unborn lives which are killed every year, the people killed in the name of terrorism, life is no longer sacred as it once was. What's the greatest killer for people, especially men between the ages of 17 and 24? Suicide. And for some people, it's now acceptable. That's an abomination before God. I'm not talking here about people mentally ill, but people thinking there's no hope, and they end their life. They're in for a worse life in eternity. No, life is to be respected, simply because God is the giver of life. How dare we take it? And of course, therefore, we respect our bodies. We don't use them as an ink canvas. We don't use them to put holes in them. We respect our bodies and the bodies of others. And that leads us to respecting the body with regards to purity and chastity. And that's the sixth and the ninth commandment. The ninth with regards lust in the heart. That's where it begins, and it leads to lust within the body. We need to fight against these. And today we're living in an age where the porn addiction is going out of control because it's just everywhere. We need to be mindful of its presence and put strategies in our life to offset it. Then, of course, there comes the seventh commandment with regards to thou shalt not steal, which simply means be happy with what you've got. Don't be jealous, the tenth commandment, of other people and what they have. God provides for us in ways that we cannot perhaps fully understand. And it's not so much what you want that he'll give, but what you need. And so often that's the case. We're kind of struggling for something. All of a sudden we turn around the corner and God puts in our lap what we need. So let us be grateful for what we have and be mindful of those in the world who have much less. As Pope Francis would say, we in the West have too much and they have too little. And of course the 8th commandment is the big one with regards to the tongue. Ugly thoughts in the mind, but also ugly words. Just think of what lies are told each day through the media or through communication or now on certain websites. The truth will come back to haunt us because every word that's uttered that's a lie is taking away, stealing from God, who is the truth. That's a breakdown in a short and simple fashion of the 10 commandments. Go online and unpack them yourself. Don't be worried if some sources throw in 11 commandments. Sometimes the numbering of them varies according to its source. The main thing is the subject matter that they deal with. As I've said, in the past people took these for granted and we lived by them, and society was a happier and healthier place to be. Today we've lost sight of them and we need them. And it's not so much that God imposes them upon us, but rather God is our creator. We are the creatures. Or he's the manufacturer, we are the product. And he said, this is how you function best. A few years ago, I used to have a diesel car, and I remember just selling it and getting a petrol car, and absent-mindedly on Sunday night, I drove near the petrol station, and yes, I put the wrong fuel in the tank. And I'll never forget it. I drove it a few metres down the road, and I said, don't let the car stop. What's gone wrong with the car? Why isn't it functioning? I just filled up the tank. And it dawned on me, goose. Wrong fuel. Well, the manufacturer had designed the car to function with a certain fuel. You can choose not to put that fuel in, but it won't work well. We can choose not to keep the commandments, but life won't work well. It's as simple as that. The commandments are there for God's sake, but for our sake. God doesn't need us to worship him on Sunday. We need to worship him on Sunday. Otherwise, our week just doesn't work as well. So let's turn the whole thing around and realise these are God's recipe for our salvation. You need a recipe to bake a cake, you need rules for everything in life. And these are God's rules to lead us along the highway of life here to eternal life. So let us ask God for the grace to keep these commandments. And if we've broken them in a serious way and committed a mortal sin, now it's time to have God's mercy shown upon us to seek his forgiveness and healing in preparation for the great and awesome feast of Easter. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.